KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's clear and 36 degrees in Atlantic. Expecting sunny skies today with a high around 80. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen of the Check of KJAN News. Brought to you this hour by the TV Store, your Verizon wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV satellite systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. Republican candidate Rick Santorum says moving the open voting contests in the presidential campaign earlier puts lesser-known candidates like him at a disadvantage. A panel in Florida has decided to hold that state's primary on January 31st, a move which means Iowa's caucuses won't be held as scheduled on February 6th, but will instead be moved much earlier.
I can't say that I was pleased that Florida did what they did. I think there was no question about it. It was to the benefit of the leading candidates. You know, it takes a game that's 60 minutes and turns it into 45 minutes. And if you're ahead, then, of course, you'd like the game to be played tomorrow.
Santorum's campaign strategy was already heavily weighted toward a better-than-expected finish in an early state like Iowa. And he says Florida's decision makes a good finish in the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primary an even bigger prize.
You're only going to have a couple of candidates that are going to have the ability to compete in Florida. The rest of the candidates are going to have to focus even more so on these early primary states because the compressed time frame. I think it's going to end up Florida getting less attention, not more attention.
Santorum participated in an old-fashioned baseball game at Living History Farms in Urbandale yesterday afternoon. He's campaigning in Clarion, Grundy Center, Toledo, and Benton later today. Republican rival candidate Michelle Bachmann will campaign in western Iowa this afternoon with stops in Sioux City and Council Bluffs. News time is 8:02.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get back on the road again.
Ricky, what in the world are you doing?
Crystal, I'm getting ready for tailgate season by combining two of America's pastimes, country music and football. I just wish there was a way I could conveniently take my TV with me while tailgating.
I can't help you with your singing, but I do have a solution for your TV issue. With Dish Network's Tailgater, a portable, fully automatic HD antenna which allows you to be watching the pregame show within minutes of pulling into the parking lot, with no alignment necessary. All you need is the Tailgater with the appropriate receiver, and you'll be the go-to person for all the highlights on game day.
That's exactly what I need, so I'll be the man on game day.
Now, Ricky, there's only one place this season to get a Dish Network for your home and the Tailgater for your RV at the TV Store, your locally owned Dish Network authorized retailer, 907 East 7th Street, Atlantic, or call 243-3032 or check us out on Facebook.
Prices, package, and programming subject to change without notice. Hardware and programming sold separately.
Elsewhere in state news, an investigation is continuing into complaints that election maps in Polk County were redrawn to favor Democrats. The Iowa Ethics Campaign and Disclosure Board is investigating the complaint filed by Matt Whitaker. The board's executive director, Megan Tooker, has confirmed the depositions of some officials involved in the process are scheduled to take place later this week. The Des Moines Register reports that the Ethics Board voted last month to extend the investigation, saying it needed more information. The complaint filed by Whitaker alleges the newly drawn map favors incumbent Democrats. The map puts two Republican supervisors in the same district in Polk County. They were approved by the Board of Supervisors and the Redistricting Commission. The Democrats hold majorities in both groups. In local news, an Elliott man was arrested early Sunday morning in Montgomery County on an assault charge. Sheriff's officials say 32-year-old Joshua L. Franzen was taken into custody at around 3:15 a.m. after authorities investigated a domestic disturbance incident at a residence in rural Elliott. Franzen was located at that residence and arrested on a charge of simple assault. He was brought to the Montgomery County Jail and held on a $300 bond. The Sioux City Mail Processing Center has closed despite attempts to save it. The final pieces of mail went through the center Saturday morning. Operations are being transferred to a processing center in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. The Postal Service announced the consolidation decision in June as part of its plan to cut staggering losses. Iowa's congressional delegation and others had tried to fight the closure. Postal officials have said that local mail delivery will not be affected by the move, but Sioux City will lose about 70 jobs. A review of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers' management of the Missouri River begins this week in the wake of this summer's record flooding. Whit Anderson, director of programs for the Corps' Northwestern Division, is overseeing the process, and he says the Corps will provide information, but it will also allow the review panel for some free rein.
A very high, important principle for us is that it does have independence, and the integrity of that independence is maintained. I mean, they have to be able to do the work as they see fit, given the general scope we've given them, and do it unfettered, if you will, by influence from the Corps or anyone else.
Anderson said the Corps is also analyzing what would have happened under different management scenarios. For example, if the Corps had released water from upstream reservoirs earlier this year to free up storage place, a space for floodwaters, would the region have been as devastated?
That information, coupled with this review by this independent panel, will help us have a dialogue in the basin about what the art of the possible may be in terms of different future operations, which then leads to questions, as you asked, is it time to go back to Congress and seek new authority, or do we need resources to do something else?
The four-member panel includes scientists from the National Weather Service, U.S. Geological Survey, Natural Resources Conservation Service, and Colorado State University. Critics have accused the Corps of failing to work aggressively enough to prevent flooding. Anderson said information gleaned from the review may be used to ask Congress for a new direction on managing the Missouri River. That review, by the way, officially begins tomorrow, and the results aren't expected until sometime in early December. Elsewhere in state news, authorities in Webster County are warning motorists to be on the lookout for stray cows that have caused at least two recent accidents on county roadways. The cattle have been seen near U.S. Highway 169 and Paragon Avenue. Webster County Chief Deputy Jim Stubbs says several people have been injured in crashes with cattle. Stubbs says authorities don't know who owns the animals. After the accidents, the cattle have fled into farm fields that haven't been harvested, making it difficult for authorities to catch them. Authorities say they hope the owner of the cattle comes forward to claim the animals. A Texas trucker has died in a crash on Interstate 80 in eastern Iowa. The state patrol says the truck driver suffered a medical problem while driving. During the crash at about 6 p.m. Sunday, the driver, 58-year-old Ricky Lynn Hopkins of Chillicothe, Texas, died at the Marengo Memorial Hospital. Hopkins did not die of injuries in the crash, but as a result of the medical problem, which was not disclosed. A Davenport police officer who shot and killed a man who threatened to blow up his neighborhood has been cleared of any wrongdoing. The Scott County attorney cleared Officer Will Martin, saying he acted reasonably when he shot and killed 48-year-old Victor Medina at a Davenport apartment building on September the 8th. Police say Medina had a suspicious device in his hand and had threatened to, quote, blow up the whole block. During negotiations with police, Medina told officers he had a bomb. Police say Medina refused to put down the device and began walking toward officers when Martin shot him in the chest. The device turned out to be a flare with a flash light taped to it. Martin is back at work but has not resumed full duties. A Des Moines police officer who was hit by a truck near the Iowa State Fair is making strides in his recovery. Relatives and colleagues of Officer Fukam Tran said he's walking again, is expected to return to Des Moines from a Chicago rehabilitation facility on October the 10th. Tran was struck by the truck as he was helping pedestrians cross the street near the fair on August the 20th. He was thrown 47 feet and suffered multiple injuries, including a punctured lung and bleeding of the brain. The driver of the truck, Keith Terry of Belews Creek, North Carolina, has been charged with serious injury by vehicle, operating while intoxicated, and possession of a controlled substance. He's pleaded not guilty to those charges, and his trial is set for next month. And a missing Waterloo woman with dementia has been found dead from an apparent car crash. Waterloo police say the body of 81-year-old Patricia Bartles was found early Sunday morning in her car, which had left the roadway, gone down a hill, and into a ditch in a wooded area. Authorities had asked Saturday for the public's help in finding Bartles. She left her home early that morning to drive 50 miles to Manchester, but never arrived. Police say there was concern for her safety because of a recent diagnosis of dementia. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, the first day of the new financial quarter could be a downer on Wall Street today. Dow Jones and S&P futures both have dropped slightly. Benchmark indexes in Germany, France, and Spain fell more than 2% today. Protesters dressed as corporate zombies are greeting Wall Street workers this morning. The demonstrators, who've been speaking out against corporate greed and other issues, have been camped out near New York's financial district for 3 weeks. 700 of them were arrested Saturday when they blocked traffic on the Brooklyn Bridge. American Amanda Knox is expected to find out later today if her murder conviction will be dropped and she can go home. The 21-year-old former exchange student and her ex-boyfriend are serving prison time in Italy for killing Knox's British roommate in 2007. Knox addressed the appeals court today saying, quote, I'm paying with my life for things that I didn't do. The court also could decide to reduce or increase her 26-year prison sentence. And officials in central Pennsylvania say a man and a woman were sent to a hospital this morning after a bear got into their home and attacked them. The State Game Commission says the man was scratched and bitten, and his wife was attacked when she tried to chase the bear away. The couple live in a rural area about 20 miles northwest of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. News time is 8:10.
I'm so frustrated.
I have always had cable, but my friend said I should check out Dish Network. I called the 800 number, but I still have a lot of questions and just want to talk to a live person. There has to be someone local who can answer all my questions, install my Dish Network, and be there for me after the sale.
Does this sound like your significant other? Hi, folks. This is Alan Josephson, owner of the TV Store, your locally owned Dish Network authorized retailer in Atlantic. When you stop by the TV Store, you will get personalized service, and we will do our best to install your system on your schedule. Since the TV Store has been in business for 30 years, you won't be getting some stranger prowling around your property, and we'll make sure the job gets done right the first time. Then, after you're up and running, if you still have questions, we will be happy to assist you in person. For a local service and a friendly staff, come see us first for all your Dish Network needs at the TV Store. Store 907 East 7th Street in Atlanta, or call 243-3032. Find us on Facebook, and thank you for your business.
Prices, package, and programming subject to change without notice. Hardware and programming sold separately.
In the funeral announcements, 88-year-old Glenn Peterson of Elkhorn died Friday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Glenn Peterson will be held today at 11 a.m. at the Pauley Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. 90-year-old Kenneth S. Christensen of Audubon died September 24th in Des Moines. Funeral services for Kenneth Christensen will be today at 2 o'clock at St. John's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. 87-year-old F. Raymond Burnham, Jr. of Griswold died Saturday. Funeral services for Raymond Burnham, Jr. will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Griswold United Methodist Church. The Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. 76-year-old Edward T. Hubin, Jr. of Panora died Thursday. Funeral services for Edward Hubin, Jr. will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Panora United Methodist Church. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has the arrangements. 84-year-old Harold Joseph Nissen of Shelby died Saturday. Funeral services for Harold Nissen will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Minden United Church of Christ. Pauley Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. 78-year-old Judy Kula of Audubon died Saturday in Carroll. Funeral services for Judy Kula will be held Wednesday at 10:30 at St. John's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. And 94-year-old Mercedes Bauer of Manning died September 19th in Colorado. Funeral services for Mercedes Bowers will be held this Saturday at 10:30 at the Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has the arrangements. That is a check of the news and funeral announcements here on KJAN, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer, located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Henson reporting.